first phrase of that first verse, there's coming a brand new day when God says it's over. And isn't it amazing how that, just this morning I was listening to some of the talking heads discussing, you know, all the different issues about the stock market and the political environment and all of what's going on in Washington and what's good and what's bad and who's making their mark and who's not and all this sort of foolishness. But there's coming a day when God says it's over. There'll come a time when all of these things will be put down. The very first verse of the Sunday school lesson this morning taught us that the people would be ruled by one shepherd. Said it'd be of the household of David. Boy, that's right. Hey, when King Jesus comes to rule and to reign, my friend, even a fellow who calls himself the Messiah cannot take the place of our Lord Jesus. Amen. By the way, they did say in the last time, they'd say that, lo, the Messiah is here, and lo, he is there, but believe it not. Isn't that right? Hey, we'll know it when Jesus comes, friend. All of his younguns will know about it. And old Satan's demonic team will scatter like ashes. At last, they'll understand what power is about. Creation will clap its hands in praise to the Maker. The heavens will tremble when Jesus steps out. Brother, I'm telling you, he's coming in majesty and power. Every eye shall behold him, and what a time it's going to be. Let's read in 2 Kings chapter number 2 this morning. Chapter 2 of 2 Kings. I've been preaching, I don't guess a consistent series, but I've been preaching a lot lately about these coats. We talked about Joseph's coat of many colors. We talked about the coats of skin that the Lord made for Adam and Eve a couple of weeks ago. And this morning I want to talk about Elijah's mantle. When you find your place, 2 Kings, stand with us. And we'll read the word of the Lord together from 2 Kings chapter number 2. And I want to read the beginning in verse number 6, and we'll go down through verse 15. Again, it's staying on the same theme of these coats. Like I say, we've not really preached it straight through in a series, but it's some studying that I've been doing. The Lord's been giving us some help on, and I want to share with you what God has helped me with. And, of course, a lot of you remember the sermon a couple of months ago on the coat of many colors. And then some of you will remember and would like to forget the sermon on the coats of skin. It's a little stouter than what some folks can take. But then this morning I want us to preach on 2 Kings chapter 2 about Elijah's mantle. Verse number 6, the word of the Lord says, "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, and by the way, it's always a hard thing when it comes to getting the anointing of God and living in it. There are those who want to teach in a modern day that it's easy to live an anointed, spirit-filled, victorious Christian life, but it's a hard thing. It's a blessed thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's, my friend, a thing of great joy, but it doesn't mean that it comes easy. It's a hard thing. It'll take sacrifice and it'll take commitment. Amen. And he said, If thou see me, and he begins to tell him the commitment is going to take now, If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. Boy, ain't that a blessing? There might be a sermon there one of these days. And Elisha saw it. Well, I'm thankful for some things I've seen along the way. And I know Elisha was thankful to have seen this. This was what he committed to, that he would see him when he went away. And he saw it, thank God. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Isn't it interesting? When he tore his own clothes, he found some others to wear instead. I'm thankful that whenever you shed the old man, you can put on the new. Amen. And he took up the mantle of Elijah, verse 13, that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us in reverence to the reading of God's word this morning as we read together from 2 Kings chapter 2. Now the beginning of the chapter starts off with Elijah and Elisha traveling. And they went from Gilgal and they began to make several stops. Along the way, every time they began to stop somewhere, the people, the sons of the prophets that had some inclination of what God's plan was for them said to Elisha, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. They kept telling him, do you not know that the Lord's going to take Elijah and carry him on to heaven today? And on every occasion he would say, yes, I know about it. Don't say anything else more. I understand. You don't have to give me any more details. I know what God's doing today. And Elijah would look at Elisha and say, why don't you just tarry here? Just stay here. And I'm going to go on to the next town and I'll journey further. There's no need in you going further. It was as if Elijah was telling him, I'm going home today. You find you another place to live. There's no need to continue to follow me because of your days of following me are limited. I'm fixing to go home to the Lord. And yet he said, I'll not leave you. Don't tell me to quit following behind you. And as the Lord God liveth, I'm going to stay with you. And he does stay with him. And matter of fact, we get down to verse number 6. And Elijah again tries to get him to stay. And the sons of the prophets watches as they cross over the river Jordan. And Elijah takes his mantle and he smites the waters of the river. And they pass over on dry land. Of course, when they get across on dry land, he promises Elisha, if you'll be with him until I go away, that he'll have a double portion of my spirit that'll come upon you. And Elijah is carried off in the whirlwind and chariot of fire, and his mantle falls from heaven. Elisha takes the mantle and again begins to do the work of the Lord. And so I want to preach this morning on Elijah's mantle. Now, one of the trademarks about the ministry of Elijah was the prominence of this mantle. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 13, Elijah is in a cave running scared from Jezebel. But he still had his mantle and wrapped his face in it as he went out to see if God was in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, and he found him in the still small voice. Isn't it interesting that this great prophet, even when he was running scared, even when God said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Even when he was not in the perfect will of God, isn't it interesting that he still had a mantle? Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, God's mercy and grace is such that many times God will oftentimes allow us to still feel his anointing and his presence and for him to still deal with our hearts even when we're not exactly where we ought to be with God. And it was that mantle that he wrapped his face in as he began to come out of his cave and as he began to seek after God again. And thank God it will be that same Spirit of God that enables you to serve him today, that when you draw far away from him, that will draw you back near unto him again. Amen.
And so we see this man, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, at 1 Kings at the end, chapter 19 and verse 19, we see how he cast his mantle on Elisha, and it symbolized God's call on Elisha's life to a spirit-filled ministry. And yet this man and his mantle is no place in the Bible. He is more closely connected than in this place of our text in 2 Kings chapter 2. His mantle is used to part the waters, and it's left behind to Elisha in his ministry. And this morning, first I want us to discover, my friend, the significance of the mantle for the people of this time, and the lessons that we learn from it, seeing that mantle as a symbol of the anointing Spirit of God. And then I want us to look at Elisha's mantle. First of all, let me tell you a few things about the mantle and what it was used for in this time. The mantle, first of all, was an outer garment. It was a garment that was worn on the outside. It was not a shirt. We're talking about the overcoat, if you will. It was the outside garment. It was worn on top of the rest of the clothing. You see, the mantle of God, is it God's anointing, is not the first garment, it's the outer garment. It was the garment that was added to what was already dressed upon the man. And can I tell you, you'll never be anointed of the Lord to serve God until you've first been dressed in the robes of righteousness. I mean, friend, there are those in the modern day of religion that have never been saved that are seeking the Spirit of God. Amen, that's right. And I read here a while back in the Christian Science Monitor about some group of Catholics and Mormons that were gathering together and had been meeting in the modern day tongues movement, and they said they'd been filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues. Yet they don't even believe in Christ Jesus as your only and all sufficient hope for salvation. I'll tell you, this anointing of God is an outer garment. It's not an undergarment, it's an outer garment. And until you've first been saved by God's marvelous grace, and my friend, received Him as your Lord and Savior, you'll never be robed in the power and the anointing of God. If you're going to preach in power, my friend, you'll have to be saved first. Hey, can I appreciate what Brother Scott said a couple of Sundays ago? Preaching is not a career, it's a calling. And if a man is to be called, my friend, in the ministry, he'll first have been called unto the Lord in salvation. Amen. This mantle is an anointing for service. It is not a gift of salvation. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved by grace, God can anoint you for service. That you'll never serve God until you first come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. It's an outer garment. It's not the undergarment. It was added only to those who had first been clothed. And my friend, for us in salvation's robe, and being an outer garment, it was impossible to hide. Amen. If you had on this mantle, and people saw you, it was impossible for them not to know that you were wearing a mantle. Everybody could see it everywhere you went. Matter of fact, they wouldn't always see the undergarments, the clothing beneath that mantle, but they would see the mantle. Can I tell you, friend, in our lives as saints of God, I cannot see the hearts of men. I cannot see beneath the surface, but I can see the effect of the anointing of God, the mantle that's on people's lives. Even the lost, condemned world can see the effect of that outer garment, the anointing of God that's on our lives. Amen. If you have it, it's impossible to hide. And if you don't have it, it's impossible to see. Amen. That's exactly right. The mantle was an outer garment. And then I noticed that the mantle was usually made of wool, or sometimes even of sheepskin. And at any rate, it could only be provided and could only be made possible by the sacrifice of the Lamb. Amen. Woo! Well, bless His name. I'm going to tell you, I'm not in the service of the Lord this morning, and I can't preach under power this morning because that I've done so good, or because that I've earned some degree, or because that I have some aptitude. But I tell you, it's only by the sacrifice of the Lamb that I am what I am. It is by the grace of God. Thank God. It's by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. It's because of the Lamb that we can be anointed today, friend. And you'll get anointed the same way, and you receive that outer garment of the mantle the same way. You were clothed in the righteousness of God, and that is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting upon Him. Hey, friend, you don't get saved by grace and Spirit-filled by works. It's all a work of grace. Hey, thank God, and then the Spirit that works in you to will and to do the good pleasure of the Lord. Amen. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, it is not by works, but it is unto works. Amen. And it reveals itself by our works, but it is not earned by your works. You don't get the Spirit of God, the anointing of God for the service of the Lord because you've worked so good. You can't do anything to earn it. But I'll tell you, it's free to those that will seek it. And it is the will of God. Matter of fact, and don't let this scare you too much. Matter of fact, everybody that's been saved has been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Somebody said, you mean to tell me you believe in predestination? Biblically, I do. Hey, friend, we've got these modern, and my friend, even ancient Calvinistic movement that teach that predestination means some folks are born to go to heaven, others born to go to hell. That's not anywhere in your King James Bible. And I tell you what is in your King James Bible, and that is that He has predestined us in Christ to be conformed into the image of His Son. It is the perfect will of God for everybody that has ever been saved to be filled with the Spirit of God and to live a life of service and anointing for Jesus. Amen. That's right. This mantle was made of wool or sheepskin. A sacrifice of the Lamb made it possible. And then the third thing I want you to notice about a mantle is the mantle had slits and not sleeves. It had slits and not sleeves. This mantle was not a garment that had sleeves like a shirt, but it was more like a blanket with a hole in it for your head. It'd come across the top of you and be open when you wanted it to be on the sides. And when they wanted to close it up, they'd tie it up around them, or maybe even gird it up between their legs, so as to give them freedom to run and so forth. You remember Elijah when the rains are starting to come? He told old Ahab, said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. He girded up his mantle, pulled it up between his legs, and set him to running, and he outrun the chariot and the horses all the way back to the palace. Amen. Oh, yes. That's right, but we're looking at a garment that had slits and not sleeves. Why does that matter? Well, with slits and not sleeves, it gave the people absolute freedom of movement. They were not restricted by the length of the sleeves or the tightness thereof because it had slits and not sleeves. Well, praise His name. I'm saying, friend, the anointing of God is not a mold that you fit into. It is the freedom to be what God wants you to be. I mean, if a person's anointed of God, and if everybody in here would feel the Holy Ghost, that wouldn't mean all of us would part our hair on the same side, and everybody would cross their legs the same, and walk the same, and march the same, and brush their teeth the same. I tell you, my friend, that's robotic. That's not Spirit-filled. A Spirit-filled Christian life is not not bondage, it's liberty. It's not hate. It's not a prison, it's freedom. It's the freedom to serve God and be the very best you can be. For God's honor and glory. God knew what He was getting when He got you. And He'll use you, friend. And within your personality and your makeup. And He'll make of you and mold of you what He wants you to be. You don't have to be what I am. Everybody's not supposed to be what I am. And by the way, I'm not trying to be what nobody else is. I just want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I just want to live for God. I just want to be what God wants me to be.
Be a great day in your Christian life and a wonderful day in your ministry if you preacher, when you quit trying to be like everybody else or somebody else and just start being what God wants you to be. Amen. I mean, hey, being Spirit-filled don't mean you march and walk and act. And I appreciate people that look highly to certain folks in their lives. And surely Elisha learned from Elijah. And that many of the things in their thought processes and so forth were alike. And he learned how to carry himself. Even many of the miracles that Elisha performed, he realized and remembered what Elijah did. And went through the same practices and so forth. And God worked for him the same way that He worked for Elijah. But they were very distinct. Two different personalities all together. And Elisha to have a mantle didn't have to have the same flamboyant personality that Elijah had. Elisha was a meek and a quiet spoken man. And Elijah was a wild man. And yet they were both Spirit filled. You don't have to have a certain personality to be Spirit filled. You've got to have a certain person. Amen. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And He'll use you being the person you are according to how God pleases to.
Sure. Amen.
Don't try to be somebody else. You can't be somebody else. No use for me to try to be Brother Scott. I can't sing like him. And he kills me. Makes me so mad. I'm telling you, I could just puke. I mean, he sits over there and plays the piano. Then he sings. Then he plays the guitar. Then he sings. Then he preaches. And I think after a while, sooner or later, hey, you'd find something he couldn't do. But he can do all of it. And it's not, hey, I don't have the same creativity that he has. But God didn't call me to be him. And He didn't call him to be me. Hey, that's all right. He don't have the same sense of humor and flamboyance that I have either. Amen. That's right. That same quick wit. Hey, and by the way, whenever you're a kid, they call it a smart mouth. And when you get grown, they say you've got a quick wit. Isn't that interesting? Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friend, hey, God has called everybody and knowing what you are to use you according to your own strengths and your own gifts and so forth, and just be yourself and let Jesus work in you.
Amen.
Amen. The mantle had slits and not sleeves. Amen. No two anointed people are just alike, but they are both just like God wants them to be. Amen. It had slits and not sleeves. And then this mantle, it had blue fringes on the border. And these blue fringes were sewn on the border to remind them to keep the commandments of God. According to Numbers chapter 15 and verse 38. And that they would sew these blue tassels, if you will, or fringes on the border of the garment. Matter of fact, Jesus said in His day that it had come to be a sign of needless piety. And that it had come to be a way of people showing off. And He condemned the way they had taken the law of God and twisted it into a manner to glorify themselves. Amen. But friend, the principle of the thing that God gave in His law was to sew something on the mantle that would remind them to keep the commandments of God. And what's the lesson in that for us? If you want to be anointed, if you want to wear a mantle, you'll not be able to do it if you ignore the commandments of the Lord. I mean, you can't be Spirit-filled and despise the Scriptures. You can't be Spirit-filled and despise the church. You can't be Spirit-filled and deny the right way of living. You can't be Spirit-filled and sin-filled at the same time. You'll have to keep the commandments if you're to wear the mantle. Amen.
Amen.
And everybody wants to wear a mantle, but nobody wants to pay attention to the tassels on it. Amen. Everybody wants to be spirit-filled, but ain't nobody wants to do nothing. Oh, God, help us. Matter of fact, you're sitting in the preaching on sin just riding. Folks are sat there looking at you. I've had people even come by the door and tell me, he said, well, I don't know what you preach on all that for. I ain't been doing nothing. Well, don't you know doing nothing's a sin too? Maybe you ought to repent about doing nothing. Amen. And get it right with the Lord. That's right, ain't it? I mean, get yourself. Hey, listen, by the way, if you're in a spirit field, you know what it will be? It will be a reminder to keep the commandments of God. I mean, I found, Brother John, it's impossible for me to walk close to God and be near unto the Lord and not be reminded to walk with God according to His commands. It's impossible. And when I'm walking the nearest to the Lord, sometimes when I see myself the dirtiest, I mean, I begin seeing everything I'm doing wrong, everything I do. Somebody said, all you do is preach on your convictions all the time. It'd scare you to death if I did that. And most of you wouldn't even know what to think about half of them. I've found now the last 15, 20 years, I got more convictions than what I can keep myself. It'd scare you to death if I preached on them all the time. But I'm going to tell you, if you're spirit filled, the border of your garment will remind you to keep the commandments of God and stay away from sin. The mantle had blue fringes. I want to say this morning, the mantle was used for a blanket. If you'll study the scriptures and also the history of the time in which this is written, you'll find out that especially the poor people, particularly shepherds and such, would use this mantle as not only their overcoat, but their blanket. Late out at night, it would be the thing that they'd use to cover themselves with in the field as they would keep the sheep. It was not just a source of power, but it was also a source of comfort. Everybody knows what another name for a blanket is, don't you? A comforter. That make you think about anything this morning? How Jesus said in John chapter 14 in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I tell you, a mantle is not only a source of power, but it's also a source of comfort. I tell you, thank God for the times that when I have. And listen, you know why when they'd use it for a blanket? When they were tired and when it was dark and when they were scared and they were cold. I tell you, the power of God is not just for the mountaintop experiences. It's for the valleys, friend. It's for the dark, cold, scary times when you're tired and weary. I tell you, I'll be a blanket unto you and I'll be a comforter to you, friend. Amen. What do they say about these youngins that drag a blanket around everywhere that they go? And they won't leave their blanket behind. Some of you have this morning got a half a dozen of them with you. Bring a youngin, you got a half a dozen blankets. They like to have that blanket even if they're not cold. They want that blanket. You know what they call that? They call that a security blanket. Boy, I'm glad I got one of them, ain't you? I'm glad I got a security blanket. I'm glad I'm saved to know the Holy Ghost. You're bad in my heart today. It's not just a blanket, an overcoat. It's a blanket as well. Amen. Oh, that's right. Well, well. The mantle was used for a blanket. Now let me tell you this thing. Because it was used for a blanket, it could not be taken as collateral on a loan. Isn't that interesting? Now we got the Jewish fellow here with us this morning. Brother John can straighten me out after I get done, if I get into this mixed up maybe. I'm trying to preach about something I don't know nothing about. He studies his Jewish business and I don't know him to do this. So I'm out of my league this morning. I ought to give him my notes and see if he'd clear them before I get started maybe. But he hadn't shook his head none yet, so I guess I'm on track so far. But according to the Bible, this outer garment, this mantle, could not be used for collateral for a loan because it was used for a blanket. It's interesting. It's not just a point of trivia, but it means something. You see, the collateral for a loan would be held by the person until the loan was repaid. But they couldn't hold the mantle for somebody else, and they couldn't keep somebody else's blanket. Well, there's a couple of lessons to be known here. First of all, I'm going to say that you can't loan your blanket out to nobody else. And nobody else, my friend, can use your blanket. Nobody else can use your mantle. Nobody else can live off of your anointing. Amen. Because mom or dad was filled with the Holy Ghost, because papa was a fire-breathing preacher, does not mean that you necessarily are covered with a mantle. Amen. It'll be a personal matter between you and the Lord. If you ought to be spirit-filled, you'll not be spirit-filled off papa's mantle. Amen. Can't live off somebody else's mantle. Some of you try to live off the preacher's mantle. I mean, I come to church, if I'm high, then you're high. If I'm low, then you're low. If I shout, then you shout. If I'm plugged in, then you're plugged in. And if I'm dragging the ground, you're so depressed, you're just about ready to jump off a bridge. I mean, you just live off the preacher's mantle. But I'm going to tell you what you need. You need to get near to God and get your own. Amen. Hey, if you do that, you can come in. And if I, hey, if I had a frown on my face and looked like I'd been baptized in lemon juice, you could get me cranked up. Hey, well, you wouldn't have to wait on me to get in the glory before you could. You wouldn't have to wait on the sermon for you to shout. You wouldn't have to wait to see what God is going to do before God began doing something. Amen. I tell you, you could already be in on it if you had your old mantle. Amen. Truth be known, you can hang around here a little while. You know what they'd let them do? If I was going to borrow something from you, I'm going to come over there and borrow a tool or something, I could give you my mantle as collateral as long as what I got it back before daylight ended. So if I was going to come over and borrow a tool from you, and Brother John, I'd give you my mantle and say, listen, I'll be back before dark and I'll bring your tool back and I'll get my mantle back. But you were obligated not to keep that mantle past dark. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying for just a little while, my mantle could have an influence on him, but he couldn't keep it. Amen. And that's what happens when you come to church and the man of God preaches and the saints of God testify and the glory of God moves. For just a little while, you get to use the mantle of those that are spirit-filled. But if you don't have one of your own, come the end of the day, you'll wake up, my friend, in the morning and you'll fight the devil without the protection of a mantle. Amen. Amen. Couldn't loan it out. I want to tell you something else. The mantle could not be held as collateral for a loan. Now, if you have a loan, what does that mean that you do? You owe somebody. You're in debt. Hey, hey. I hope somebody's figuring some of what I'm fixing to say out already. It could not be held and kept from you as collateral for a loan. Collateral for a loan would be something that is withheld from you because you have a debt that you can't or will not yet pay for. Amen. I'm going to tell you, everybody in this place owed a debt that we could not pay for. But I'm so glad that God in His sovereignty determined just because we're debtors that He would not keep a mantle from us. Hey, hey, I'm going to tell you, the Lord paid my debt at Calvary. But even still, I sinned debt at Calvary. But even still, I'm a debtor, friend. Hey, I owe somebody something. I owe a debt to God. I owe a debt to the sinner. I owe a debt to the church. And even though I'm a debtor, even though I owe, even though I have not met measured up to what I ought to be. He's determined not to withhold the mantle from us. And I may be an imperfect servant, but thank God I can still be an anointed servant.
Brother Wayman, if God required for us to be perfect before we could be servants, that all of us just die without serving the Lord. But we're imperfect servants, but thank God. May be imperfect, but we're not without a mantle.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, if that servant had been in previous battles and wars and was left with scars, and had all sorts of things of cuts and bruises up under his outer garment. Once he put on that outer garment around it, nobody but him and the Lord knew about it. Amen. Cause that outer garment covered it up. Hey. I wish to the Lord I could tell you I didn't have any cuts and bruises and scars. But I'm afraid I can't do that. What I can say is thank God for a mantle this morning. Hey. He'll let you serve him. Somebody said you don't know how failed him. Hey friend, you don't know how he loves you. You don't know how I've fallen short, preacher. God promised us a man on his grace, not on your works. This mantle could not be taken as collateral for a loan. Well, I want to say, friend, number 7 about the mantle. The mantle was a protection from the elements. It was a protection from the elements. In the sun, it was a shade. In the wind, it was a shield. In the rain, it was a coat or a cover. In the cold, it was a blanket. It was flexible and suitable for all times and all seasons. I'm going to tell you, that's what the good Holy Ghost is. Somebody said, right now is not the time nor the place to be talking all that religious stuff. I had a fellow tell me that my friend, one of the first jobs that I had, second job I ever had, working at a bank, and everybody would gather around the water cooler and they'd talk about the Bulldogs, the Braves, the Yellow Jackets, or whatever else, and the golf game, and the shopping sprees, and whatever. I'd get around the water cooler and run everybody off. I'd want to tell them about the service we was in on Sunday morning. I'd want to tell them about the camp meeting we've been involved with. I'd get to testifying and crying and carrying on, and next thing you know, they'd be scattered like a covey of quail. I'm telling you, friend, hey, they'd go every day that I had my supervisor tell me, he said, listen, I'm as religious as the next fella. Now, give me a break. That man drunk enough booze to float a battleship, cuss God every breath, and leave my friend with the morals of an alley cat. And he said, I'm as religious as the next fella. But listen, hey, the workplace is neither the time nor the place to share your faith. They make churches for that, he said. But I'm glad that the mantle is an all-weather garment. Amen. It works for every time, every place, and every situation. Now listen, hey, I'm not telling you not to have some wisdom about yourself. Have sense enough to follow the Spirit of God. Know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it to be a blessing. And not a stumbling block to people. I'm not telling you that at all. But I'm telling you, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and if you'll let God use you being Spirit-filled, you'll not overstep your boundaries. You'll be a help and a blessing to people.
Amen.
And to those that will not hear, you'll be a voice against them in judgment one day. Jesus didn't just preach to open the ears of those that would hear. He preached in parables as well to close the ears of those that would not. And we're to spread the gospel both to the hearers as well as those that will turn it away. And those that turn it away, it'll be a witness against them in judgment, my friend. Amen. It was a protection from the elements. And then I want you to see this. A mantle, this outer garment allowed the Jew to carry hidden items under it that the person needed for their journey. In other words, many people see just a mantle, but the one wearing it knows beneath that outer garment lies every tool that he ever needs to make the trip all the way. He had, with this outer mantle, he had a place to put tools, to put supplies on the inside. Had pockets and such, if you will. He could conceal some of these things so that the enemy would not even know he had them. But he knew he had them. Well, I'm so glad there's some things the enemy don't even know we've got this morning. And the devil don't know nothing about it. And the angels even long to look into these things and can't. But I'm glad, thank God, it's just between me and the Lord. And by the way, his brethren couldn't even tell that he had it. But he knew he had it. Somebody said, hey, I don't believe old so-and-so's for real. Well, whatever's under their mantle is between them and God. And if they've got it, they know about it. And the Lord knows about it. And that's what really matters anyway. Amen. Hey, somebody said, well, the church don't look like much to me. Don't look like that God's people's got that much going on to me. The thing is, you can't see beneath the mantle, amen. Hey, we've got all the tools and all the supplies it'll take to make the last mile of the journey this morning. This mantle, the mantle, it's a sign or a symbol of the anointing of God. Now, no character in the Bible is more closely tied to the mantle than Elijah is. And I'm going to show you Elijah's mantle and I'm closing. First, in our scripture that we referenced earlier in 1 Kings 19 and 19, Elijah tossed his mantle. He tossed his mantle. He comes down from the mountain where he hears the still small voice. Is fed of the bread from the Lord and the canteen of water and so forth. He hid in the cave. God said, what doest thou here, Elijah? I know y'all remember that. I preached on that 8 weeks in a row here a while back. What doest thou here? And he came out of that cave and went down. And then, my friend, he was told of the Lord, said, go down there and I'll show you a man that you're supposed to call on, had that'll follow you in the ministry. And the Lord leads him to Elisha's place. And Elisha's out there plowing with 12 yoke oxen and his famine, his great fire and his big spread. And Elijah takes his mantle off. And when he comes by where Elisha is, he casts that mantle out on him. And the Bible said that Elisha looked at Elijah and said, let me do this. Let me kiss my mother and my father. And Elijah said, you do what you will. And he was as good as saying, I'm not the one that called you. I'm just putting my mantle where God told me to put it. Amen. And Elisha went back and he killed the cows and he burnt the plows. Amen. And he cooked them cows. And he made a beef stew out of them. Those cows were the oxen he plowed with. He killed that cow. And so he couldn't plow anymore. He burned the plow. So he couldn't plow anymore. He's saying farewell to his old life. He kissed his mom and dad and his members of his household. And he took up the mantle. And he followed after Elijah. Amen.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something this morning. In your life you're living, your mantle is not much different than Peter's shadow. In Acts chapter 3 and 4 and 5, we find the great moving of God after Pentecost. And Peter would walk down the streets and people just put out their sick and the withered and the lame in the street side with hopes that Peter's shadow would be cast across them. And Peter, everywhere he went, cast a shadow. And I'm going to say everywhere you will go, you're casting a shadow as well. You're casting a mantle. In other words, Elijah as good as said, I didn't put you on the call of the ministry of God. All I did, God said for me to come down here and cast the mantle. I came down and cast the mantle and you were in place where God wanted you to be and you was covered with it. Amen. What I'm saying is everywhere you go, however you live your life, the way that you walk, the way you talk, everything you do is casting a mantle. It's tossing your mantle and you'll have an impact on others. Everywhere you go, it'll rub off on everybody that surrounds you. You'll toss your mantle onto them. If you're living a spirit-filled Christian life, walking with Jesus, it'll have an impact on them. They can't escape it. It will impact. They might not like it. They might not embrace it. But you'll cast or toss that mantle on everybody you come in contact with. Somebody said, I want to be a greater witness for Jesus. Well, in our modern day, they teach you that there's a lot of techniques for that. And surely it's important to know the scriptures. But you know what you need more than you need a technique? You need to learn how to just toss your mantle. Amen. I mean, get spirit filled. And everybody will come around. Just go ahead and let them see the anointing of God on your life. And be a witness to them in Jesus' name. I tell you, toss your mantle if you'll do that. Elijah said, I didn't call you. All I did was cast the mantle. I did what God told me to. Now it's up to you. I tell you, that's what we're doing as Christians. We're tossing the mantle. We're telling others, hey, listen up. There's a better way to live. Then it's up to them to kill the cow, burn the plow, kiss mom and dad, and head out for Jesus. Amen. That's right, ain't it? He tossed his mantle. Then secondly, the second time I want to show you about him is when he twisted his mantle. He twisted his mantle in this chapter where we read this morning. In verse number 8, it says, Elijah took his mantle and he wrapped it together. You see him wrapping it together? That's an expensive suit to be doing this to that. He wrapped it together. There we go. And he smoked waters. And they parted hither and thither. He twisted the mantle. Now, when he twisted the mantle, it was to take out all the looseness in it. It took out all the play in the garment. It took out all of the flexibility and such. And it bowed it up, and it made it stiff, and it made it strong. I'm saying to you, that's a symbol of the power of God. And I'm telling you, if you'll live for Jesus and walk with Jesus, there won't be every day of your life that you'll experience a twisted mantle. But every now and again, when you've got a river that you just can't cross, and you've got a situation that's just bigger than what you are, and you don't know where else to go or who else to turn to, all of a sudden from the glory world, you'll feel something begin to crank and begin to twist up, and you'll feel the Holy Ghost work up inside of you, and you prayed until the heavens seemed like brass, but all of a sudden it'll smite and hither and thither, even the heavens will part, and God will send answer to your prayer. Woo! Bless His name, and God will let you know He's still on the throne, and He can still part rivers in your life and mine. A twisted mantle shows us the power that there is in the Spirit of God. We, my friend, are not second-class citizens. We're not red-headed step-youngins of the Lord. But I'm so glad, hey, that He'll part the rivers. He'll open the wind in heaven. He'll hear an answer prayer. Amen. Boy, ain't that a blessing. You can use it when you need to make impossible crossings. You can use it when you need to experience a demonstration of His power. You can use it when you need to understand His plan. Amen. Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He practiced. Can you imagine? Now listen, I don't know. I got a feeling that Elijah, knowing this day was coming, and he did. Knowing that this day was coming, I got a feeling he might have got somewhere or another in the back room and said, now how am I going to fold that mantle up? I want this to make an impact on Elisha. And he did, because he wanted Elisha to do the same. And he got in the back room and he decided, I'm beginning to pray and seek God's face. And he'd fold that mantle one way and then fold it another and say, now Lord, which one's the right way? And how am I really going to have the power? How am I really going to have anointing and power with you? Hey, how am I really going to get it just right where that river will part? I'm saying, friend, when you get into quiet places and solitude where it's just you and the Lord, take your mantle and say, God, how do you want me to wear it? What do you want me to do? Show me how to live for you. Tell me how to use this blessing of the Spirit of God that you've given me. Show me how to twist it just right. Show me how. To have strength, Lord. Show me how to be an example unto somebody else. And if you, my friend, will seek God's direction and solitude, He'll give you His power in the open. Amen. Amen. And it wasn't just Elijah and Elisha that saw him. There's 50 prophets standing up on the banks, standing up far off and watching. And all 51, the 50 and Elisha, watched Elijah round up his mantle, watched him get cranked up in the Lord, and smelt those waters. Hallelujah to his sweet name. I tell you, folks, a witness it when the power of God comes on you. And if you hadn't been twisting the mantle in private, folks will see that in public too. You twist it in private and they'll see it in public. If you don't, they'll know that as well. He twisted his mantle. He tossed his mantle. I got to get done preaching. I might just preach this morning, not preach tonight. They told me the other Sunday, if you preach a little while in the morning and a long time at night, that it evens one another out. If you preach a long time in the morning, not at all at night, does that even end out? Amen. Somebody said, y'all pay me by the hour anyhow. So if you pay me by the hour, I'm doing good this morning. He twisted the mantle. And let me show you something this morning. I'm about done. He threw the mantle. I talked a while ago about how he tossed the mantle onto Elisha, demonstrating what God had told him to do. But I'm not talking about tossing the mantle as if he cast it about to pick it back up again. But in verse number 13, when he went off into the heavens, Elisha looked and there's a mantle come falling down. Amen. He threw it. When I say threw it, I mean he threw it away. It was the last time he'd ever need it and he'd ever use it. You see, he was going to a place where he'd no longer need a mantle of the Spirit of God to protect him from the elements and to help him make the journey. His journey was complete. The elements were no longer present. And oh, by the way, he wouldn't just be robed in a mantle of the Spirit of God, but completely surrounded by the glory of God's manifested presence. Amen. And so what he did, as he was going away, he looked down on old Elisha and said, there you go, son. You'll need it. But just remember that there's plenty enough in it to get you all the way home. Woo! I'm going to tell you something, friend. I hadn't made it home yet, but I'm glad I got enough to make it there. I hadn't made the journey yet, but I've got enough to finish it up. I've not finished this thing out yet, but I've still got a mantle, amen. The world may go sideways on God. Modernism, liberalism, secular humanism taking over. But I'm glad I've still got enough in my mantle to make it all the way home. And by the way, it was also his way of saying, I told you if you'd stay with me until the end and see me go away, I'd give you a double portion. And here it is. There's the mantle. Now listen, that doesn't make sense. A double portion and it's one mantle. Elisha already had one. Now he's got two. Amen. He gave him a double portion. Oh, yes, that's right. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? Oh, listen now. And so Elijah threw the mantle. And then finally, I want to show you about Elijah's mantle, that Elisha took the mantle. Elisha took the mantle. Listen, that mantle would have been absolutely no use had he left it laying there on the ground. But Elisha, the Bible said in 13:14 of our chapter, has said that Elisha took the mantle. He went over there and picked the mantle up, held it in his hand. He said, oh, my father, oh! But he went over there too. My friend, the River Jordan, that mantle in his hands. And he must have thought to himself, now how did Elijah do this? And he folded it the same way. He twisted it the same way. He looked up to heaven and said, where is the God of Elijah? And he smote the waters and they parted. And the young preacher said, the Spirit of God that was on Elijah now rests on Elisha. What are you saying? What does that mean to us? I'm saying I watched as just a young lad of a boy. I watched young Lord, my friend, him old men of God, full of the power of God and of the Holy Ghost. I watched them little granny women around the house of God and shout, my friend, their hairdos down and glorify the Lord. And I I want to be anointed. I'm so glad, thank God. When they went to heaven, Brother Scott, they didn't take the mantle with them, but it's still here left behind. And if we'll take up the mantle, we can enjoy the same old time power they had. And by the way, the mantle didn't lose any power going from Elijah to Elisha. Matter of fact, it was double. And just because you're not living in the Great Depression and you're not 95 years old with a beehive on top of your head does not mean that you cannot have the same anointing of power that they experienced in days gone by. The power of God has not been diminished. The mantle's left behind. It's just a matter of will you take it up? Will you take up the mantle? Well, I'm done preaching. I wish you'd come with a song. Will you take up the mantle? Here's the question. He accepted it. Here's the question for you. Many of the old time saints have gone on and the mantle is waiting for somebody to pick it up, to carry it and to toss it. Amen. Waiting for someone to twist it and to throw it. And many of the old time saints have gone, left their mantles behind. Question is, will you gladly seek it and receive it and use it? Will you joyfully seek the plan and the power of God on your life? The mantle's been cast. Now will you wear it? Please stand. You need to come. Do business with the Lord this morning. You want that power of God? I've been saved for 10 years now, preacher. Didn't matter a bit to me. Elisha had walked with Elijah every day for quite some time. And yet he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. No matter how long I served the Lord, I never quit seeking for more anointing, for seeking for a greater sense of fellowship with God, a greater sense of empowerment from the Holy Spirit to serve Him and to live for Him. I wonder, will you take up the mantle? She's singing, you need to pray if you would come, if you need to pray and do business with God this morning.
He's all I need when I need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call Him. Every need He will supply my thirsty soul. He'll satisfy. He's my everything and He's all I need.
That's right.
He comforts me when I'm
Amen.
Weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, He's my soul's
oh, yeah.
inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and He's all I need. He's all I need.
If you need to come, do business
I
with God.
I dare not turn to any
other. You want to bring up your children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you'll need a mantle.
He's a friend
you
that's
want to serve God with
a
whole heart, be effective witness
brother.
For Jesus, you'll need a mantle.
And on Him I can
you
rely.
You want to walk with the Lord daily
and
experience
him,
His power and His presence.
As time goes by,
you'll need a mantle.
He's my all in all. And He's all I need.
Sunday school teacher, you want to be effective in your class?
He
comforts you'll need a mantle.
Me when I'm weary.
Preacher, you want to preach under unction?
Eases
you'll need a mantle.
Every pain fills.
You want to be effective witness on your job site? In your
time
family?
And time
you'll need a
again.
Mantle.
He's my soul.
You can no more serve God of yourself than what you could save yourself.
Heart's consolation.
You need the anointing
he's
of the good Holy
everything.
Ghost.
And He's all I
you'll need.
Need
a mantle. Well, I appreciate it this morning. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate the Word of God, and I appreciate the Spirit of God. Amen? That's right. Matter of fact, that's what a mantle with tassels on it is, ain't it? The Spirit of God teaching us about the Word of God. How about that? Hadn't preached this thing out yet. I'm just keeping on studying on them coats. It may be another or two. Amen. It is a coat of many colors. Amen. Matter of fact, I studied this week, and most scholars believe that coat of many colors, it was a mantle. That's what they believe. It was a mantle. It's that outer garment. Just what we preached about this morning. It's a coat of many colors. Shows us His favor, don't it?
Yes.
Good for any situation. I'm glad I'm saved. Well, we'll come back this evening at 6 o'clock to worship. Be nice to have a Sunday night service. Two Sunday nights ago we had the missions meeting, so we went all the way through from Thursday night to Sunday morning. And then last week we had the blizzard of 2009, so we didn't have Sunday night service. Be nice to have a Sunday night service, won't it? Some of you will be so far out of the habit, you'll be so carnal, you'll stay home. God help us. Amen. You know what we need, don't you? We need another Super Bowl. That's the biggest crowd we've had on Sunday night forever. I made a statement, something about I wouldn't want to stay home and watch Super Bowl tonight. And everybody come to church on Sunday night. Maybe we need another one of them. Amen. I'm so glad to see you this morning. I appreciate you being here. You can fellowship one with another. Be sure to shake hands with a visitor. Let them know you appreciate them coming. We'll see you this evening at 6 o'clock.